Preach, speak. So, the message is on Psalm 90. And Psalm 90 is a lament psalm, right? And it's a communal lament. And one of the most interesting things about the psalm is that it's actually, it's entitled A Prayer of Moses. A Prayer of Moses. And some people say that this is the oldest a psalm that there is. And what's really interesting is that the psalmist, you know, declares how we should use or, you know, how we spend our time wisely. Now, I was going to show this this slide, and basically, you know, the students at the school were being asked this question. What scares you the most? There you go. What scares you the most? Right? And Nina says, it's sharks, right? So this is a bulletin board, a photo of a bulletin board in a school. And then next one, Dylan is asked, so what scares you the most, Dylan? And he says, the unstoppable marching of time that is slowly guiding us all towards an inevitable death. So after, in actuality, there's another child being asked the same question, what are you scared of most? And the child says, Dylan. So this morning's topic is time, and how to spend our time wisely. This is the commentary on Psalm 90. In this communal lament, the worship leader affirms the eternal God and creator of the world has always been Israel's protector. But God also causes men who are transient as grass to die. In his fierce anger, he decimates his covenant community, those whose brief lives are filled with suffering and end in weakness. The community asks for wisdom, the restoration of God's favor, a fresh revelation of his power, and his blessing upon their labors. The context in which some commentators indicate regarding this is that when Miriam's revolt or mutiny and the judgment that followed afterwards. And so that's the context for Psalm 90. You know, people say that time is money. Now, who's heard that, right? Time is a commodity in which we are to spend, or time is something that we need to think about. As human beings, it's really interesting that we do have a concept of time. It's a very philosophical, abstract, and interesting way of thinking about time, because we know that there is a past, we know that there is a present, which is ever-changing, and we know that there is a future. So time, we have so many ways in which we think about time, but how do we measure it, and how are we going to use that time? There's a quote in the next slide that says, time is more valuable than money. You can get more money, but you cannot get more time. Time is more valuable than money. You can get more money, but you cannot get more time. How are we to spend our time wisely? Even if you're a teenager, like my nephews, you still have a limited amount of time, right? Wherever you are in life, as you meditate upon the challenge of how are you going to spend your time, because it's important, and because if we consider how much time we have, we are granted wisdom. In verse 1 of Psalm 90, it says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. And what is that idea of dwelling? The idea is that of protection. In the KJV and NIV and ESV in the NET Bible, in the NET Bible, it's translated as protector. In Maslow's hierarchy of needs, we have heard that the first level is physiological, and second level is home. Interestingly enough, though, thousands of years before, the psalmist believes that the primary need is met through our Lord and our God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. The need for dwelling, the need for protection on Guam is even more important than in other places, in my opinion. In this slide of this next slide of that one right there, if you don't know, right, everybody here, by the way, in Guam and the islands, how do we tell time? Sometimes we tell time by, was that before or after the typhoon, right? That's how we tell time, is by traumatic experiences, communal traumatic experiences. And this photo is, I was told, I looked it up on the internet, is a photo of Pong Songhua. Right? That was, wow, that was a storm. Pong Songhua exceeded all, speeds, characterization. I think it made a U-turn, something like that. And it was during Christmas. And I remember I was living with my parents, and all the windows blew in or blew out, or I'm not sure how, but they all broke. And I remember we tried to keep a door at the window. I don't know why. I wasn't very smart, but yeah, kept the door at the window, trying to keep the water from coming in. It was flooding in the back, and it was going to come in the house, and so the only time that we could have worked or could have let some water out was because of the eye of the storm coming through. So as people of Guam, right, we know what it means to need a dwelling place that is protected. We know that we need a dwelling place that will last through generations. I mean, some people say we live in caves, and that's kind of true, because we all live, or we all hope to live in at least concrete structures, right, to protect us. And so the idea of dwelling is something that we all can relate to. And this idea of dwelling and safety really mirrors the latter part of Psalm 80 as well, how God is to be our safety and our safety net. Before the mountains were brought forth, verse 2, or ever had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Wow. Before the mountains were brought forth. If you ever gone to the States and you're traveling, and there's some mountains that you can see from miles and miles away. Before the mountains were brought forth, O Lord, wherever you have formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting. So how can we be protected in life? And how can we pursue God? In verse 3, it says, you return man to dust and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years is in your sight, but as yesterday when it is past, or as watch in the night. If you guys remember this idea of dust, dust to dust is usually referred to in funerals. So this psalm is used frequently in funerals. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. There you go. For 1,000 years is in your sight, and a watch. So a watch was a type of time period in which people measured time. Verse 5, you sweep them away as with a flood, as they are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning, it flourishes and it is renewed. In the evening, it fades and withers. It's really interesting how in the very first part of the psalm, you see God's grandeur, right? From generation to generation. But compared to man, his life is but like grass. His life is like a watch in the night. And his life is, later on it says, but a sigh. You know, I was hoping it'd get better, but it doesn't get... It's verse 5 through verse 11 is still difficult. And that's why I brought up this slide of the gospel. Because let's look at the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, we read through Psalm 5 through 11. So what is the gospel? We believe that God is a righteous creator. We are accountable to somebody, and that man is sinner, that we have fallen and need a savior. Jesus Christ is our savior, which saves us from our sins, and then our response is to be in faith and repentance. So why is this important when reading through the Psalms? Well, for one, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ, and also we believe that all scripture is God-breathed. And as we read through this very difficult section, it says, "You sweep them, mankind," verse 5, "away like a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For you are brought to an end by your anger. For you are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you and our secret sins in the light of your presence." You know, the atheist and the righteous both long for a righteous God. I'm not sure I got that quote, but it's really important. The atheist and the theist, the believer, both hope for a righteous God. Why? Because we need righteousness. We need what is right in our lives. Even more and more on Facebook and social media, and even now, like, Facebook is being told, you know what, you need to determine what's right and what's wrong. So you need to, you know, determine what gets broadcasted or what's, it can be, like, retweeted, right? So Twitter, Google, Facebook, all these companies are determining what truth is, what right is. And so no longer is that a question that can only be personally held, but it is something that we need to, in real time, know. Again, it says that the Lord has anger and the Lord has wrath. But of course, because we do not want secret sins to go unpunished, we all want justice in life, whether it be now or it be later. "For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, but even by reason of 70, 80, our strength 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and the wrath according to the fear of you, O Lord?" Again, God is a righteous creator. We must have someone in which we need to relate correctly. And then man is sinner, as seen here in these verses. And there needs to be someone outside of us that gives us forgiveness, that can give us the power, the supernatural ability to forgive. Because if offenses are only equations, like 1 plus 1, then that's how we would equate offenses or forgiveness. We could never truly receive forgiveness unless there's overwhelming forgiveness from God. So knowing God's grandeur and knowing the goodness of God and the wrath of God, what is our hope? And here in verse 12 it says, we're going to focus now on verses 12 through 16. Verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of God." Also in, I think, Psalms or Proverbs, it says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. But this one says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of God." So the purpose of numbering our days is so that, purpose is that, so that we may get a heart of wisdom. A heart of wisdom is something, so what is wisdom? Chuck Swindoll says that the heart of wisdom is a skillful living. Some people who've preached a sermon, who I've heard preach a sermon, usually say that they have a death app. It's kind of morbid, but the death app is basically an app in which some people put when their parents died, or their grandparents died, and then it would make a calculation as to how many years they would have left. It's important that we consider how much time that we have, because we need to not waste our time. Again, so teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Verse 13, return, O Lord, how long, have pity on your servants. Psalm 80, Psalm 35, as a prayer, as a congregational prayer, we always long for God's grace and God's mercy. I mean, as I was sitting there, I'm like, who am I to preach and who am I to be here? And it's really because of God's grace and God's mercy. And again, I thank you for the privilege of sharing. The Lord is gracious in our lives, and we always need to seek after God. Verse 14, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love. You know, Gatorade was around since 1980s. So Gatorade has this this theme called the Thirst Quencher. Has anybody ever heard of that one? Yeah, Gatorade, the Thirst Quencher. So the idea of satisfaction in this verse is the idea that something that satiates us, satisfies us in drink and in food. Something that satisfies us in drink and in food. Someone who causes us to be satisfied, to give us the desires of our heart, to satisfy us with their mercies. The form of the Hebrew here is something like, Lord God, cause us to be satisfied. Now think about it. Think about the gospel earlier. Think about how you are today. I know after a hard day's work, what satisfies you, right? On the weekend, what satisfies you? In your work, what satisfies you? This question of time connects us to the idea of satisfaction, because would we spend time on things that don't satisfy us? Maybe. But again, that question is, where does your satisfaction truly come from? Is it truly from the gospel of Jesus Christ, in which our identity is taken from? Like from your work, if we take satisfaction only through work, then we don't believe that satisfaction can truly come from God. Christian faith gives us a new identity, and so work is no longer our identity. Christian faith gives us a new concept of dignity of all our work, which even though work can bore us, there is still some goodness in work. Christian faith gives us a moral compass so that we will not corrupt our work. You know, whenever reviewing like marketing or even, marketing in general, like sales, you're like wondering to yourself, you know, is this really what people really need, or is this something that they don't need? A Christian faith gives us a new worldview without which work will be your master instead of your servant. If work is the one that satisfies you, because of whether if it's revenue, whether it's acclaim from other people, then you are lost and need Christ. So what should satisfy us regarding God's character? Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love. Steadfast love. Another word for it is loyal love. Another word, or Hebrew, I think it's hesed, right? Loving kindness. A pursuant, faithful love. So a love that's, I think closest would be agape. A love that is not based on condition, but based on commitment. Yesterday, I performed a wedding, and it says, for richer, for poorer, right? In sickness and in health, till death do us part. So those are the type and the idea of love in which God pursues us. And that is why we can find satisfaction in that love. That love that is pursuant for richer, for poorer. So, Lord, whether or not I'm rich or I'm poor, you will love me, right? In sickness or in health. Lord, even though I can no longer be a missionary at TWR or a chaplain in the guard or a good mother, Lord, you will still love me. So this is why God should and needs to satisfy us, because if it does not, for he does not, then we will turn other things into idols. Here is a list of things, work, spouse, kids, family, and ministry. All of these things are good, right? I mean, like your spouse. What could be wrong with your spouse? What could be wrong with your kids? Oh, that wasn't meant to be a joke, but anyway, okay. Family, what could be wrong with your family, right? And what could be wrong with your ministry? For crying out loud, you're like, you know, that's God's work. But again, going back to that verse, satisfy us, Lord God, in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. We need to meditate, and as we number our days, you know, if our days are spent satisfying only our work, only our spouse, then we lean towards manipulating them, right? We lean towards idolizing them. We lean towards not spending our time wisely. We need to understand that, for one, the Lord God will protect our kids. The Lord God will make our spouses happy. And if they're not, we pray that they are. It's not that we shouldn't attempt or encourage that. And that the work is never done. Like, I'm almost going to ask for his hands, but who thinks their work is done? Nobody thinks their work is done. And we need to find satisfaction in God, because his steadfast love endures forever. There's a passage in Martha and Mary in the Gospel of Luke, how Jesus visits this this family. It's Martha and Mary, right? And Mary is listening to Christ's teaching, and Martha is getting things ready. And Martha says, Lord, you know, aren't you going to scold Mary? She's not helping at all. Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you know, Mary has chosen the better thing. So though Martha was doing the right thing, she was doing ministry, and she was, you know, caring for others for their physical needs, and you know, we don't want to make a dichotomy between spirit and matter, but it's really important that we listen and focus on Christ. Verse 15, make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen evil. That's difficult. Remember the psalm earlier this morning about the Psalm 80. Make us glad for many days you have afflicted us, and as for many years as you have seen evil. For those of us who consider ourselves mature, we have seen evil, and we have been afflicted. And if you haven't, just wait. But, you know, it's a difficult world, and we need the satisfaction and the goodness of God in our lives, because no matter how much we try, there's always those obstacles and those evils out there. Verse 16, let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let your works be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. The next slide is a slide of a night at UOG. I don't know if you can really see this, but it's the night sky. Yeah, night sky, and it's the jungle. Jungle and the night sky, and it's very beautiful. And as I was wondering, you know, Lord, let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. In Edward Edward Blackaby. Anybody remember the Experiencing God series or the Experiencing God work? I think one of the things that Blackaby says is that, you know, look for where God is working and then join him, right? Look where God is working and join him. And in verse 16, let your work be shown to your servants. You know, Hebrew poetry is not by rhyme, it is through parallelism, right? So the first line is expanded by the second line, right? The first line is, let your work be shown to your servants. But there's an addition, there's a tweaking. And your glorious power, so your work and power, right? Work and glorious power are aligned. And then servants and children. So this is a very deep prayer. Not are we only asking about, Lord God, please show your glory and your power and your work to me, but Lord, show your glory and your work and your power to my children, right? Isn't that, as parents, or even as people who disciple others, that is your prayer and that is your desire. In youth ministry before, I was thinking to myself, you know, Lord, my prayer is that the youth would experience your glory, would experience your power, would the youth would experience God. Because I can tell them of this, I can tell them of that and how the Lord has been faithful. But to me, unless they experience the Lord themselves, my children, they will not be as faithful. And so that's why it's really important that this prayer is prayed. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. In the last verse, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. You know, 2 weeks ago, another medical the crown on my teeth. And it's always interesting how, you know, slowly you need things getting fixed. has anybody here ever watched Undercover Boss? Undercover Boss, right? Undercover Boss. So it's like it's always the same theme, right? The boss gets undercover, you know, wears different things. So, and then he starts going around different companies, the CEOs, right? And then he experiences, oh, that needs help, or that person's awesome, that employee's awesome. And so at the end, the boss meets the employee, right? And then the boss usually grants like and I'm going to give you a car, or I'm going to give you money, or I'm going to pay for your school, right? The undercover boss, you see the boss's favor, you know, whether it be through like the subway, the company subway, and the mayor of a city, or just different businesses. All these people, they just take certain employees and they grant them favor. They grant them favor for what they've done. And we ask that of the Lord, and we thank God because of his hesed, his loyal love. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands. Establish our parenting. You know, I pray to God, establish parenting, because it's like they're not getting it. Our marriages, our daily work. The verb is, the idea in Hebrew is to set up to last something, to fit solidly. Again, going back to our concrete illustration, you know, on Guam, when they set concrete, you know, they put something in the concrete. They put rebar, right? So not only do we use concrete, you know, in our caves, but we use rebar to reinforce our homes. And so part of our prayer is that we ask the Lord that he would put rebar, or he would put concrete, that he would establish the work of our hands. Think of a photo of hands. There you go. So, Faith Church, if I may ask you, please raise your right hand. You're not going to swear or anything. Then look at your hand. and meditate for maybe 30 seconds, 15 seconds, how long the work of your hands will last. How long will, right now I have carpal tunnel in this one and I can't raise this arm, but anyway, you know, like how long will your hand, the work of your hands last? So that is our prayer. Thank you for meditating on your hands, upon looking at your hands. So again, Faith Church, we need to ask for prayer. Prayer as to have wisdom because our days are limited. We need to ask for God's restoration, for His favor. We need for a fresh revelation of His power. I think, you know, as we grow older in faith, we ask ourselves, Lord, please help me to see you day by day, not only what has happened in the past, but even present now, if you would please, you know, with your favor. And lastly, we ask for the Lord's blessing upon the labor of our hands. You know, very limited. Our hands are, they're very limited. And only through God's grace and God's mercy will our hands surpass our lives. Let us pray. Father God, I pray for Faith Church. Lord, I pray that you would be with them all this time. Father, as a community, we pray for wisdom, for the elders, and also for the congregants as well as for the children. Lord, we all have limited time, and I pray that you would grant them what needs to be prioritized, what needs to be focused upon. Lord, I also pray that whatever sin we have committed, Lord God, that you would be gracious because of Jesus Christ, and that you would forgive and restore us, Lord God, in fellowship. Father, though if anyone here has not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord, that you would lead them to salvation and that the elders would lead them to salvation as well. Father, I pray for a fresh revelation for Faith Church, for mission, for vision, through your word and by your grace. And lastly, Lord, I pray that Faith Church would continue for 100, 200 years, and that the work here, the worship here, would continue on, not only from just this generation, but from to generations and generations to come. By your grace, in Christ, through the Holy Spirit, amen.